you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. Knowing you're near, so good to see you. Hope that it's clear. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Romans chapter 12, verse 8. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, September 12th, 2023. And if you were tuned in yesterday, we didn't even get to share on the topic that I wanted to have Pastor Gary Grogan talk about, and that was on leadership. He was a part of the Ministry Leaders Network luncheon last Thursday, and he kept everyone's rapt attention, I think. I don't know. We were all engaged in listening. He had a great outline. And yesterday on the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, I wanted to have him walk us through that, but we got kind of on a healthy tangent, I think, talking about Father God, the love that God has for each and every one of us. And if you've come from a broken home, or even you had a great dad, but there were points of conflict or points of disappointment, we have to always be careful we don't indict God the Father in terms of our earthly dads. Even though they were wonderful, God supersedes all that because he is perfect. He loves perfectly. He cares for you. He created you. You have plans and purposes because he brought you into existence, and he wants to spend eternity with you. And we touched on some of the things. It's knowing Jesus. It's recognizing Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's recognizing Jesus showed us the Father. But today I have Gary back, and also Tom Richardson's joining us again, a good friend who's lived in the Champaign-Urbana area for many years. He's traveled the world, but I gave a little bit of an introduction yesterday on both of them, and that program is archived at greatnewsradio.org, also WLUJ.org. But Pastor Gary, we didn't get to talk about leadership, and that was one of the topics that you talked about last Thursday, the importance of serving God and serving others in excellence. And you had a couple of really interesting things about most leaders have to go through suffering to really achieve great excellence or holiness. But I love the outline that you gave to people. I think it was 10 things for people to ponder that are leaders. So I would like you to walk us through some of those points, but also for the person today that's tuned in, that's, well, I'm not a leader. I'm not leader material. Well, you are. You've been given gifts and talents by God. You do lead people, whether you believe it or not. And the leadership might be to the neighborhood kids. It might be to your spouse or family, coworkers. Not all leaders are on a podium or up in front of everyone. God uses leaders in all walks of life. So look at yourself maybe as a leader today and maybe glean some of these things and see how they could fit into your experience. But can you talk a little more about leadership, and why did you choose this passage out of Romans?
Yeah, Romans 12:8 is one of Paul's lists of Holy Spirit gifts. And in there, in one translation, it says, let him who leads lead with all diligence. Some say lead with all passion. Yours said what? Lead with all. Let him who leads lead with what?
Let him govern diligently.
Let him govern diligently. Yeah. So people say, well, are you born with leadership? Is it developed? Is it a gift? And my answer is yes, yes, and yes. As you just said, everybody is called to lead at one time or another. Lead in a relationship, lead in a family, lead at school, lead at your place of employment, lead in your church fellowship, lead in your community. So some people obviously have a stronger leadership gift than others. Some people work harder at developing their leadership gift than others. It's like music. Can music be learned? Yes. Is it a gift? Yes. It's like athleticism. Can it be learned? Yes. Is it a gift? Yes. So the level of our leadership is not what is important. What is important is we are faithful to what God has given us. That's a big key. And the scripture interprets the scripture. How can we be faithful to this gift of leadership, this calling of leadership? Through diligence, through passion. We cannot be lazy. If an organization begins to crumble, there's many reasons, but one of the reasons is because those in charge are not giving due diligence to the core values, to the basics. Volumes are written on leadership. I mean, there are leadership gurus like John Maxwell. You know, Peter Drucker was incredible. We've all heard his quote, "Culture eats strategy for breakfast every day." Mm-hmm. And I like to say, "Culture eats strategy for lunch too and supper also." So we talked a lot about leadership in the meeting last Thursday, but I think, and people are welcome to disagree with me, but I think we've made leadership an idol in Western culture. And we're like Nebuchadnezzar. We build this great, big, huge golden image and everybody bows down to it. Right now, I work with a lot of young ministers, women and men, young leaders in Christian organizations and other organizations. And they will come to me with such insecurity. I just can't do this. This is bigger than me. I don't have what it takes. And it's because of an excessive diet of leadership teaching. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to do this. Here's what I say, and I said this last Thursday, as you'll remember, in the leadership luncheon that you had at the station. I believe the key to Christian leadership, not indefinite article A, but definite article the, is followership. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's be good followers of Jesus. Let's be good Christians. Let's be integral. Let our word and our handshake be our bond. Let's believe the Bible. So if we'll stay in the shadow of the cross, if we'll live the crucified life, Billy Graham preached more on the crucified life than a lot of people realize. Even in his crusades, go back and look at some of his old videos. He preached dying to self a lot. So the Christian life is not about life, liberty, and happiness. It's about obedience, surrender, and the kingdom of God on the inside of me. That's the Christian life.
Take us through some of the points that you made last week, but also maybe define followership, because people think, well, yeah, I get following Jesus, but isn't it kind of weak to follow people? Don't we want to be leaders and in charge and up front? I want to be a leader, but you're kind of saying to be an effective leader, you have to be a follower.
Well, it's interesting. I read a study done by Harvard. So Harvard's business school is turning out all these MBAs and all these people that want to be presidents of Fortune 100 and Fortune 500 companies. And they realized that even their best students weren't accomplishing that goal. What's the military base out east there that's so famous?
West Point?
West Point. That's it. So we're all looking here with a puzzled face, if you could see us right now. And Mark thought of it. And now he's blushing. Anyhow, they did a study on the graduates who were supposed to become these dynamic leaders at Harvard Business School. And they weren't becoming that. But they did a study on West Point, and they found out that there were vastly more numbers of West Point graduates who were leading Fortune 100, Fortune 500, and other multinational corporations. And they came to the conclusion in this study, it was because at West Point, they taught followership. Well, I know some people are already way ahead of what I'm talking about, but before you can be a good leader, you have to be what?
A follower, chain of command.
You got to be a good follower. Yeah. And so, yes, that sounds blasé and plain, and I don't want to be a follower, but actually this is big now in the business world. I wish it was bigger in the church world, I'm sorry to say. But we've overemphasized leadership, in my opinion, in the church world, and we need to go back to emphasizing followership. Stay connected to Christ. Stay in the Word of God. Stay full of the Holy Spirit. Work on the fruit of the Spirit. Kindness, by the way, is one of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, I've been in the ministry my whole life. I get tired of mean Christians. at business meeting time every January, February, March, that first quarter. Man, Christians, this cloak of meanness comes upon them.
Yeah, they say if you don't believe in the devil, just go to a church business meeting.
Wow, Tom, that was experience speaking right there. So that's what I mean by followership. Mm-hmm. Just staying connected to Jesus. You know, I think sometimes we're intoxicated with leadership mm-hmm. and we're more intoxicated with what we do than who we are. Right. When it's all over, Mark, it's just going to be a few people around our bed. Hopefully we'll be well enough to hold their hand and say some prayers and, you know, I mean, Billy Graham is dead now. His body's in the grave. You know, now thank God his work continues.
Right, right.
But if there was ever a man that was a good follower of Jesus, he was so humble mm-hmm. and yet drew bigger crowds than any rock star, than any. It's amazing. So followership, Mark, really helps us as leaders take initiative and lead change. This is one of the biggest jobs of a leader, is to take initiative. Initiative in growing the organization, in the Christian community, initiative in making sure that prayer and outreach is a part of local churches. And when we're a good follower, it helps us to lead change. And boy, that's tough to do. Neuroscience has proven that the human brain is now wired to resist change with all the imagery, electroimaging that they do. So a good leader who starts out as a good follower, and we never stop becoming good followers, never, ever, but our leadership does change. Mm-hmm. I was a youth pastor, then I was a state youth and college director, then I was a lead pastor. Now I'm an itinerant teaching, preaching, kind of like Tom, evangelist pastor. That's what I do now. Mm-hmm. So that stuff changes. Leadership responsibility changes, but followership never changes.
And I like where you challenged everyone to think through, do you find yourself whining about things? Do you find yourself complaining as a leader?
You can't do that.
Yeah, I think you really help people think through, oh, shoot, do I go into some of those meetings? You know how hard I work? You know how many hours I put in? I did a lot of preparation for that message, and you're grumbling. Well, you can't do that.
No. Leaders are not whiners. They're not complainers. We solve the problems behind the scenes. We do a lot of behind the scenes work, and we rejoice when somebody else gets the credit. So there's so much to leadership. We love people more than we love our position. We expect more of ourselves than others. We earn trust. We don't have the right to demand trust, but we earn trust. I could talk a lot about that. We learn to communicate. We do it well. We do it often the best we can. And boy, communication is a lot of work. I guarantee you're better on the air now than when you first started out.
Yeah. some may sound still not too good. But
I wish you could see him laughing right now. Yeah. So we understand that the people that we're in charge of, they will rise to our level of expectation. If we put low expectations on them, that's all the higher they will rise. And here's the other thing about a really good leader who's a really good follower. You just know you're going to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I tell this to young pastors all the time, especially if they're phlegmatics. They like everybody. Everybody likes them. They're the golden retriever. Golden retriever, God's most perfect creation, mm-hmm. I always say. They come up and sniff you, and they're friends for life.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of pastors are phlegmatics. They're likable people. And when phlegmatics get hurt, it can put them in a cave. But a leader, Jesus got hurt. Even his own turned against him. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was of the Jewish tribe, and they turned against him. Two of his disciples turned against him. He won one of them back. The other one took his life. So we just know this is part of it. You've never gotten a bad email, have you, Mark?
Well, and I like you gave percentages, like the 20% this way, the other 20% this way, and then the 60% that you can really change and work with.
Yeah, I call that the Wynn Arn Bell curve of change. There's another name for it, but I heard it from a guy named Dr. Wynn Arn. And if you draw a horizontal line to the left, about 20% of any organization are your entrepreneurs. They're the quick changers. They like different colors of painting in the wall. They okay with change. You go all the way over to the right, you draw another horizontal line, and those are the almost never or never changes. And they dig in their heels when you start talking about change. And then you draw a big eggshell in the middle, the top part, a big hump, like a camel's hump. That is 60% of your organization, and they will lean one way or the other. I didn't have time to get into it in this meeting. I wish it had a whiteboard to write on. But half of those people will lean towards quick change. Half of those people will lean towards no change. So that's where your leadership gift kicks in. You have to communicate the change that you want to bring about for the health of the organization through many different avenues of communication. If you're a millennial, you can't just use texting all the time because, you know, boomers still like ink and paper.
Right.
So you got to communicate across the generations to reach everybody with that idea of change.
And I liked where you suggested to some of the younger pastors, be careful you don't go into your new church or your new experience with too much change right away, because people won't be ready for that.
Yeah. Again, I spend a lot of my time coaching and mentoring, spiritual fathering young pastors. And I tell them not to preach vision, at least for the first year, because what does the vision demand? New vision.
Change.
It demands change. Mm-hmm. In fact, one guy I was coaching, this church hired him in Florida, and they said, we need change. We're bringing you on to bring change. They fired him 3 weeks later.
Too much change.
Too fast.
They really didn't want change.
No, they really didn't want change. So, you know, we're always building teams. That's what leaders do. We do it continually. Lone Ranger ministry, that day is over. Insecurity in leadership, that day is over. Don't be arrogant. Don't be prideful. But don't let your insecurity keep you from attracting the right kind of people to help you. You know, we're a team. We want to move the ball down the field. And so anyhow, there's just a lot about, can we build excellence in our lives? Yes. Get people praying for you. That will help build excellence in your life. You mentioned the thing about suffering. That's one of the ways that God builds excellence into our life. There's a suffering aspect to leadership. You just never get around it. People misinterpret what you say. They misunderstand what you say. On and on and on it goes. Acts of service is another way, is how we grow in excellence. You know, it's our humility. You can't pray for humility. You got to do humble acts. That's it.
And you also talked about holiness, which I think is really important, and that follows through with followership. If you're following Jesus, if you're staying close to him, if you're in the Word, if you're being led by the Spirit, you're going to stand out. You're going to set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. You're going to be directed and more directed by him because you're attentive to his leading. So for the person today getting ready to go to work or go into school, what might be a tip or two for them to exercise their leadership gifts around those in their lives?
Take the initiative. Be the first one to say hi when you walk into the office. Buy people Starbucks or whatever for no other reason than you're just trying to improve relationships. Take the initiative with your children. Be the first one to say, honey, I love you, even if you don't feel like it. As a Christian, a man or woman, take the initiative to read a Bible story, to say a simple prayer at night. This is one of the biggest jobs of leadership, is taking initiative. You don't have to feel it. You do the right thing, and then the feeling comes later. You walk through the door, and then you experience something new. So take the initiative is what I would say.
Now, is there a website or a way for somebody to get in touch with you? Maybe they want some more follow-up. I know you talked to a couple of younger pastors, and they want to be mentored, and you said, take the initiative, follow up, give me a call, text me. You know, I have lots of calls, but if you text me, I'll respond. So if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they contact you? And do you have a website or something?
I have a website, but I purposely not launched it yet. That's funny. Okay. I've never tried to build a ministry. I'm just trying to keep my life right and build other people's lives. People say, what was the secret to the church you pastored for 30 years? I said, the prayer meetings, the outreach, and building into the people. I have a website, but I haven't launched it yet because I'm finishing a dissertation. So hopefully I'll launch it in the new year. We'll see. But if they want to get a hold of me, they can contact me at G.W. Grogan, that's G-R-O-G-A-N, at fathers, with an S, mission.com. G.W. Grogan at fathersmission.com.
And if you're driving to work and you didn't have a chance to write that down, you can always call the station and we can give you that. Give us a call at 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. If you missed today or yesterday's broadcast, they are archived at greatnewsradio.org. greatnewsradio.org, also WLUJ.org, WLUJ.org, and just look under the Mark and Friends tab. It's archived now, and it'll be archived for years to come. So maybe a week from now, a year from now, you think about, I want to know a little more about leadership. Who was that guy? Log into today's program, and hopefully God can use it to grow you up. He wants to work in and through you. You can be that difference maker. And remember, it's as you go. It's not when you get to the destination. It might be the person at the gas station, the person in line. You can influence people for the Lord Jesus, lifting high his name. And who knows that God won't use you today to be somebody that has that divine appointment already. So be prepared to be used of God. And you are a leader, even though you might not feel that way. You can lead people today by your actions, maybe by your mannerisms. Maybe it's just a smile, or you open up a door for somebody and you just share an encouraging word or ask a question. Tom's always done that very well on the racquetball court. Show an interest in people. Show that you care, that you love on them, and they may ask you about your faith journey or why do you care, and you can model that love of God. Now, if you have questions that you need answered, there's an 800 number I'm going to give you that you can call and find out about how to follow Jesus. Can you trust the Bible? Who is God? Call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Gary Grogan, and Brother Tom Richardson with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.